Lord, we thank you. Lord, we come before you this morning, knowing who you are, knowing who we are in you. Lord, we can enter boldly before the throne of grace, seeking help, seeking grace and mercy in time of need. And Lord, sometimes we just want to come before you and just love you. Just to feel your presence, to feel your strength. We need you today, Lord. Once again, the enemy is trying to attack us, but once again, we know that you're going to bring us through it. You always do. Our God is greater. Our God is mightier. You have established your church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Lord, help us to always be true to you, to true to your ways. Help us to speak truth. Help us to learn truth. And Lord, help us to draw nearer and nearer to you, Lord. Open up your word for us this morning, please. Fill our hearts with you. Fill this place with your spirit, with your love. Lord, help us to receive everything you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What possessions did Jesus have? He could rightly say, and he did say it, I have no part in this world. He wasn't attached to anything except the people that he loved, his people. Luke 9:58 says he had not a place to rest his head. All he had was the clothes on his back. I don't know if he carried a change of clothing or not. I don't know. He had no house. He had no bank account. He had no wallet. The donkey he rode into Jerusalem was borrowed. The upper room for the Passover dinner was borrowed. The tomb when he was buried, where he was buried, was borrowed. Of course, it was only borrowed for a weekend. Slightly used. Only used once, just for a weekend. Even the sins he was crucified for were not his own. You notice I didn't say that they were borrowed because they weren't. He exchanged them. He gave us his righteousness and he took his sins upon us. Matthew 26:17-20. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city to such a man and say unto him, The master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12. He said, My time is at hand. He said that quite often, but not at the beginning, did he? He said it several times at the end. My time is at hand. Before that, in John chapter 2, he told his mother, My time has not come. John chapter 7:6, he told his brothers when they were urging him to go up to Jerusalem, My time has not come, or my hour has not come. What time was he talking about? The time that he would be glorified. John 17:1, Jesus was praying, These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. His time had come. The appointed time. God has an appointed time for everything, doesn't he? Everything in our lives. The disciples said, the master saith. They were sent and told to look for a man with a pitcher of water on his shoulder. They didn't say where he'd be, or Jesus didn't tell them where they'd be, where he'd be. And just say, the master has need of it. Why not just tell them where it would be? If he had, what would have happened? It would have been just business as usual, wouldn't it? He told them to go into town, look for a man carrying a pitcher of water, which was unusual because men didn't carry the water, the women did usually. Was he testing their faith? Yeah. Testing their obedience? Yeah. Does he do that for us? Yep. What wouldn't have happened if he had just told them where it was? They would have missed out on a blessing. They would have missed out on seeing what Jesus does. I'm not going to say Jesus was a show off, but he wanted and he wants his people to know what he can do. In Mark chapter 14, verse 12 through 16, it's pretty much the same thing. But it's a little bit different. And the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, where wilt thou that we go and prepare, that thou mayest eat the Passover? And he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. And wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the good man of the house, the master saith, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. There make ready for us. And his disciples went forth and came into the city and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. Doesn't say here who he sent. In Luke it says he sent John and Peter. But it's worded a little bit different. And it's worded a little different in Luke. Why is that important? Is there a contradiction there? You know, each one of the apostles, they recorded it according to their perspective, according to what they saw. And sometimes we see things different, don't we? What happens if everybody just said exactly the same thing? You'd get suspicious of it. I remember an episode on WKRP in Cincinnati where the salesman there, who wasn't the most likable guy, he was trying to join some type of a club or something, and they sent people out to ask questions of the people that knew him, you know, about him. And he told them what to say. All around nice guy. It was exactly the same words that were spoken by everybody. So guess what? They got suspicious. They start following him around. Anyway, but there has to be differences because we see things different. Otherwise, it shows maybe something's been rehearsed. Psalm 41:9, yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. It talks about that here too. Of course, he's talking about Judas. David, when he wrote it, was talking about Ahithophel, who was Uriah's father, I think, or grandfather. Today is Communion Sunday. You probably figured that out. Today is the day that we celebrate and we remember what he told us to remember. This do in remembrance of me. It's not a snack. It's not something to hold you over till you get home and you take that pot roast out of the crock pot. It's not really going to hold you over a whole lot, is it? First Corinthians chapter 11. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till I come. He's coming back. Did you know that? That makes me excited. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. For when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. He said, take, eat. Take, eat. There's two commandments there, isn't there? There's two instructions. I have something from Jonathan Cahn's book of Mysteries. It's called the Alpha Commandment. What asked the teacher was the first perpetual commandment God gave to the nation of Israel. The student says, the first of the Ten Commandments. No, he said, the first continuous commandment given to the nation of Israel was this. On the 10th day of this month, everyone shall take for himself a lamb. This was the command that established the 10th of Nisan as the day when the Passover lamb had to be taken to the house. The 10th of Nisan, the same day that Messiah, the Lamb of God, was taken to Jerusalem on the day we know as Palm Sunday. So the first command God gave Israel is take the lamb. Yes, but in Hebrew the word for take is lakak. Lakak also means to bring. So it can be translated as bring the lamb. So they brought the lamb, Messiah, on a donkey into Jerusalem. But lakak can also mean to purchase, and thus purchase the lamb. It was this that the priests of Israel fulfilled as they paid for the life of Messiah. So they purchased the lamb. And lakak can also mean seize, and thus seize the lamb. So Messiah would be seized, arrested, and taken captive. And there's one more thing that lakak means. What? Receive. Receive the lamb. Yes, said the teacher, this is the Alpha Commandment, the first perpetual commandment given to Israel by God, receive the lamb. Or receive for yourself the lamb, the Alpha Commandment and the Omega Commandment. Why the Omega? Because all of Jewish history, all of world history is waiting for that commandment to be fulfilled. When the children of Israel finally fulfill their first commandment, when they receive the lamb for themselves, then the lamb will come. then Messiah will come. Then the kingdom will come. Thus it is the first and last command, and not just for Israel, but for every life. It is the commandment which, when fulfilled, brings salvation to everyone who obeys it. Excuse me, kids, am I interrupting something? What did I tell you before? Thus it is the first and last command, and not just for Israel, but for every life. It is a commandment which, when fulfilled, brings salvation to everyone who obeys it. Everything begins and ends with that. Receive the Lamb. Take, eat, for this is my body, which is broken for you. You know, I've been preaching here for going on 9 years now. Does it seem like that long? But if you've been here for any length of time during that 9 years or that 8+ years, you know one thing I like to do is I like to look closely at the little words, because we can learn an awful lot from the little words. And a little word is. This is my body, which is broken for you. Does that mean that it becomes, as some believe? Actually, what it means is represents. His body is symbolically taken into our body. It becomes part of our body. It teaches that Christ must be in us. John 15 tells us that we are to abide in him, and he abides in us. In John 6:56, Jesus said, "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him." Eateth does not just mean to partake, to chew and swallow. It has the same meaning as when a cow eats. A cow chews its cud. It chews, swallows, regurgitates, chews and swallows again, and regurgitates over and over. It's called ruminating. And while a cow eventually ceases, we are not supposed to cease. It's supposed to be continuous. Yeah, I don't mean that when you eat that little cracker, that's what you do. But it's talking about Jesus and how we partake of him, how we learn about him, how we study him, our conversations with him, our prayers with him, our relationship with him. It's continuous. It's over and over, and we seek to get everything we possibly can out of the person of Jesus Christ. He talked about the wine. He said, "Drink ye all of it." You know, I believe that just a little tiny bit of his blood is enough to cleanse us, but yet we're supposed to feast on it, aren't we? We're supposed to feast on the things of Jesus. Drink all of it, he says. We need to keep in mind that we partake of the elements separately. The blood is separated from the body. How's that happen? It happens through an act of violence. Was there an act of violence in Jesus' life that separated his blood from the body? Yes, there was. This is a testament, he said. A testament is a disposition, a contract, a covenant, a will. Jesus said, "My blood." It's the blood of the covenant, so it's covenant blood. A covenant is stronger than a promise. It's stronger than a contract, actually. It's the most powerful, the strongest agreement that two individuals can make. And we need to remember that it was God the Father and God the Son that entered into that covenant. We benefit from it. But it's between them. If you die for these people, I'll give them to you for a bride. Bread. Bread is the staff of life. But the blood is the life. Jesus said, my blood. I already read that. It's the blood of the covenant. The blood, or that which represents the blood, finds its way into our blood. It's kind of like a transfusion, isn't it? A spiritual transfusion? Just as his body symbolically becomes a part of our body, his blood symbolically flows in our veins. All from that little cup, huh? Yeah, it's more than that. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. But we have to receive, don't we? We have to receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. The bread represents the substance of his person. The wine represents that which flows from him. We need both, don't we? We need everything he is, and we need everything that flows out of him. Jesus said, this do in remembrance of me. He doesn't say, do this in remembrance of the Exodus. He doesn't say, do this in remembrance of Moses. Although it's important to remember that because those are examples for us. But they all pointed towards Jesus Christ. It's always been a memorial of Jesus Christ, even before it happened. The Lamb, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. It's prophetic. Verse 29 in Matthew. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. You know, if this were to be the last time on earth that we partake of this, it still won't be the last time we do it, will it? Because we're going to do it in heaven with him. Who is Jesus talking to? He was talking to his disciples. But wasn't he also talking to us? Yeah. He still talks, doesn't he? The Master saith, our God is a talking God. Our God is a speaking God. He spoke, and creation happened. He spoke into my life, salvation. And there was salvation. I'm going to ask Ricky and Terry to come forward and hand out the elements. And, of course, is the all-important verse 28 that we talk about every time. It tells us to examine ourselves. And so let us eat of that bread and drink of that cup. It's not something that forbids us to. It's something that enables us to. We need to look inside our heart. And we need to see if there's anything in there that's contrary to God or against his will, against his what he wants for us. And we need to deal with it now before we partake of this. See, we have that opportunity. So I'm going to ask everybody to close their eyes and examine your heart and talk to God about what you see. And he can make it right. Did we miss anybody? Don't worry, guys. You can have some grape juice when this is over. But you don't understand what this is about, so I can't allow you to do it. Okay? Jesus took the bread. Lord, we thank you for this bread. We thank you, Lord, for the body that was broken for us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for that you offered it willingly on that cross and you died for us. We ask your blessing on this. Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. You may eat the bread. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Lord, we thank you for the blood you shed that cleanses us from our sins. We thank you, Lord, for your gift of salvation and the price that you paid for it. You may drink the cup. Jesus, Jesus, there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Lord, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, for your gift of salvation. Lord, help us to live lives that reflect what you did for us. I was going to say worthy, Lord. We want to be worthy of what you did. But Lord, we can try. I'm going to try. We're all going to try, Lord. But the only one worthy in all this, Lord, is you. May your life be reflected in us. May your joy pour forth out of us. May your love be on display for everybody we meet. May people see us and know that we are yours. Lord, thank you. I pray, Lord, that you'd go with your people. I pray, Lord, that you'd just keep us safe. Keep us close to you. Strengthen us, Lord, and keep us focused on you. The things that are important, Lord, the things of you. Bless everybody today, Lord, please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everybody, for coming. That concludes our service.